Evolving education for a changing world. Expand your career opportunities and earn an MBA from University of Cincinnati Online Lindner College of Business. Designed for busy professionals, UC Online MBA is flexible, personalized, and supports students from application all the way through graduation. Get the world-class degree you deserve without sacrificing work or family commitments. Apply now at online.uc.edu/MBA.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You know, there's a common thread amongst entrepreneurs, no matter what industry they're in or how big their companies are. Most of the time, they tend to have very similar mindsets. You are listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I am speaking to Dr. Brian Wong Ki Mun all about humanistic entrepreneurialism and how even non-entrepreneurs can adopt the same mindset. So first of all, just to give everyone a little bit more of context, you're the head of the School of Business at KDU as well, and you guys have come up with a sort of a collation of ideas about the entrepreneurial mindset, and you've called it humanistic entrepreneurialism. But can you kind of help us to define, you know, what that is?
Okay, well, when we talk about entrepreneurialism or entrepreneurship, it's always a question whether can we actually teach people about entrepreneurship, right? And can anyone just be entrepreneur itself, and what dictates the success factors of an entrepreneur themselves. So that sparks the interest for us to study what entrepreneurialism is about. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it brings us to develop this concept called humanistic entrepreneurialism. Yeah. Well, this particular concept focuses on two particular areas. The first one is on human governance. And the second one is on growth mindset, right, which mainly talks about positivity thinking.
Okay,
itself.
Great. So from what I can understand, essentially what you've done is you've kind of done a lot of research on kind of what makes an entrepreneur tick, essentially, right? And you've kind of collated all these behaviors that a typical entrepreneur, a successful one, I suppose, would exhibit, and you've put it into this concept. So, you know, can you talk to us a little bit more about the behaviors to do with this concept?
Right. Traditionally, when we talk about entrepreneurs, people would always assume that, okay, when I have a passion to do something, I'm risk-taking and therefore I probably would be an entrepreneur, right? Which nothing is wrong with that thinking, yeah? But the question is that how can that particular entrepreneur be sustainable in long period of time that determines the success of that particular individual itself, right? So therefore, when we did this particular study and we actually found out there are key areas or probably behaviors, primary behaviors that contributes to the success of these entrepreneurs. The four behaviors are number one, resourcefulness. Number two, innovativeness. The third one is enterprising. And the last one, in fact, is perseverance. When we talk about perseverance, it's really something unique because you don't understand what does it mean by perseverance without failing.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you are a performer, if you're a star performer, which you never failed before, typically, it's hard for you to understand the concept of perseverance because
right,
you never fall, you never stand up again,
mm,
right? And this actually builds an entrepreneur to be successful in a long period of time.
Right.
They need to fail and learn and relearn again.
These primary behaviors are not the ones that we would typically associate with entrepreneurs, as you mentioned, right? You know, our primary stereotypical idea of an entrepreneur is a very like kind of go-getting, like very, you know, I've got to be passionate about what I do and I want to do things for myself. And this is more the kind of backbone sort of motivations that we would find, I suppose. Would you
right,
say that?
Exactly. In fact, when we talk to several entrepreneurs, right, whether they are successful or not successful, it doesn't really matter. A lot of them actually started with the thought of, okay, I'm looking for additional income. I'm looking for financial freedom. I'm looking for freedom from being given instruction by superior and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of objectives to enter the entrepreneurship journey may not actually sustain them for a long period of time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned earlier about two key principles of humanistic entrepreneurialism, right? So you mentioned that they are human governance and growth mindset. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means?
Right. Human governance was essentially developed by Professor Arfa Saleh. She used to be with Putra Business School before. She talks about how should we challenge assumptions that is in front of us. Yeah. So how do we actually know what is reality in that particular manner itself? A lot of times that when we were being taught since we were a child, we literally just take in information given to us and
gotcha,
we assume it's right.
Right.
And it's believable, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of us actually question whether, simple things like, for example, the map that we learn, Is it the true reflection of the actual size of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even question it, right? We just take it as it is, mm-hmm. right? Human governance typically asking us to bring back who we are as a human instead of being driven by wealth.
I guess applying empathy to what you're doing, would you say that's a similar concept?
Right. Probably more than just empathy.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that how can we make a decision in a more human way?
All right. Yeah. And then you've got growth mindset as well. So.
Correct. Growth mindset is basically developed by Professor Carol Dweck, yeah, from the States. What she was talking about is on how can an individual progress in a long period of time by using the positivity mindset itself, mm. right? A lot of us thought that, okay, perhaps when we were a child, right, we've been taught by either our parents or teachers, you must work hard, yeah, and work for your grades, and therefore you get a good job. If you get a good job, you get a good salary, and therefore you'll be happy.
Right.
Right. Eventually, how our brains works, as according to neuroscientists, it probably works the other way around. Yeah, we need to be think positive, be happy, and therefore our brains will rewire the way we think a certain matter. And therefore, we are much more able to come up with solutions to solve certain problems, and therefore that probably makes us more successful.
So essentially, in order to kind of, I guess, increase your chances of being more successful in being an entrepreneur, you have to make human choices and be more positive, really.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
That's right.
Okay,
yeah, that's
awesome.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got three key elements as well that these principles affect. And those are the brain, the ecosystem, and the mindset. And the kind of idea that is behind this is essentially that with the right brain or the right skills, supported by the right ecosystem or the right process, you guys believe that the right mindset or the right thoughts can be nurtured. So kind of explain that process to me now.
Okay. What I've explained earlier on is very much on an individual level, where if you are able to be positive and if you are able to think humanly, we probably can develop our own entrepreneurism mindset itself. But that comes into the brain part, right?
Right.
As an individual. And you realize that even though you have the right brain, you don't have the right platform or the right environment that supports your concept to be implemented well, probably you will realize that it's difficult for you to implement what you believe is the right thing to do
right.
itself, right? So the platform is where the ecosystem is about.
So essentially what you're saying is that, you know, it's not just kind of one aspect of a person that will help them become successful, I guess, in an entrepreneurial mindset. You have to have all the cogs in place and all working together in order to kind of promote these kinds of positivity and the mindset and all.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. The harmony has to be there.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that is really interesting just because a lot of entrepreneurs, they often speak about their success as something that is kind of purely work focused, right? So, but you know, the right ecosystem especially, I think is so important that people don't really talk about a lot. I think people really underestimate that you do have to be in the right situation. You do have to have the right resources, right? And the right environment to be able to flourish in as well.
That's right. Just imagine, right, if even though how great your idea is to be, you don't have the right policy to support you, it doesn't work
mm.
well, right? If you don't have the right, the sufficient funds for you to run the business, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. So all this has to come together. Now, the question here is that if an entrepreneur should wait for the ecosystems to come to them or they can create ecosystems by itself. Yeah.
All right.
If you look at how the modern entrepreneurialism that we are seeing now, Uber, Airbnb, all these companies, even AirAsia in Malaysia itself, right? You can see how diversified their thoughts is to create their own ecosystems that makes it works for their business model.
Interesting. All right. Well, it's time for a quick break for some music. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Dr. Brian Wong Kee Mun all about humanistic entrepreneurialism. We'll be talking a little bit more about how you can apply it to your own life. So stay tuned to Raise Your Game on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and this is the show all about personal and professional development. Before the break, I was speaking to Dr. Brian Wong Kee Mun all about the concept of humanistic entrepreneurialism, which really is the kind of mindset that entrepreneurs have that allows them to be successful in
That's
a way.
That's right.
Right. So we talked a little bit about the two key principles of a humanistic entrepreneurialism. So that's a human governance and growth mindset, essentially making human choices and staying positive. And we talked a little bit about the three key elements that kind of contribute to being successful and how they all have to work in harmony, which is quite nice. But, you know, let's talk about how that can be applied in a practical fashion, right? So I think a great way to start that conversation would be to ask who is, or what is a great example of a person or maybe even a business that reflects the ideals of humanistic entrepreneurialism?
I think a simple example will be the AirAsia's Tony Fernandez himself, right?
Mm.
Why would he think of buying an airline with a lot of losses mm-hmm. to handle for him to think about? And how is he going to introduce a new business model in the airline business, which is totally alien to what we see in this part of the world
right.
as compared to what you can see in Europe or in the States, right? So policies itself is not ready for them, typically, right? He shows the resourcefulness of himself,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to get over all the hurdles mm-hmm. in front of him in order to implement a new business model in the airline industry in
right.
Malaysia, right? The key issue here is that a lot of entrepreneurs or innovators, right, they may come up with very innovative products, but they forgot that in order for them to survive in long term, the business acumen has to be there,
mm-hmm.
yeah? The commercialization of the product or the innovation has to be there.
Right.
Otherwise, it remains just an idea without being commercialized, right?
Okay.
That probably, again, being portrayed by AirAsia, where they introduce a new way of travel,
mm-hmm.
yeah, on the budget system. The business sense is there,
mm.
yeah? It's just that how Tony Fernandez was able to make it more believable, that people
and
will actually
execute
it, correct, and people will actually adopt it.
Mm.
And through years, AirAsia has gone through ups and downs. Everybody believes that, whether you talk about conflicts with the airport's authorities,
mm-hmm.
yeah, talks about moving from KLA-1 to KLA-2,
right.
and with the airplane crash issues,
right.
Right? So all these ups and downs takes a lot of effort and a lot of courage
mm.
for one to actually step up to face the reality and admit that, okay, this is our problem, this is our error, and we apologize for that.
And that would be the perseverance aspect.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
All right. And, you know, the other thing about entrepreneurs is that we tend to pay a lot of attention to them because they seem to stick out from the norm. And when I say the norm, I mean kind of what we usually think of as the corporate world and the relationships within it. And one idea that supports that is the agency theory. And
right.
that tends to manifest in kind of traditional corporate environments, right? So, you know, explain that a little bit more. What is the agency theory and how does humanistic entrepreneurialism defy it?
Well, agency theory literally telling us is that there's always a conflict of expectations and goals
mm-hmm.
between the employers and employees, right?
Right.
In a very simple way to explain this is that when an employee looking for a job, obviously they will try to request as high salary as possible, right? At the same time, well, obviously a lot of people are using the fact of work-life balance,
mm-hmm.
yeah? They would probably would request to have a role or a responsibility which requires them to work as least as possible.
Mm.
On the contrary, perhaps, yeah, the employers will think the other way around. Right. In order for cost efficiency, I will probably pay you as least as possible and ask you to work as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. So a very simple example here, you can see how can these two parties achieve the harmony
mm.
within between the two of them? It's
yeah.
quite difficult, right?
They physically can't because there's such a conflict of interest and they have kind of opposing ideals, right?
Exactly. If the employees is able to think as the employer, in order to create that harmony between these two parties,
mm.
that would be great. So the question is that how can we do that?
Right.
Right. So therefore, you just imagine, right, if you ask an entrepreneur, will you complain if you only have 1 ringgit of income in a month? Probably they will say no.
Mm.
Right. Will you complain if you have to work 24 hours a day for your own business? Probably they will say no.
Right.
If you ask the same questions again to an employee, the answer will be yes.
Mm.
Yeah. The whole gist of humanistic entrepreneurism is that if the employee is able to think like an entrepreneur, then the whole scenario may change.
So yeah. essentially, I guess it's a sort of shifting of priorities, right? I think we tend to focus so much on like the numbers and the figures and a lot of that stuff that we deem practical. And really what this is about is shifting our focus from that. And that is important, to be fair. You know, I think you know, people should still be paid a working salary and all that. But it's more about, you know, having the mindset that, you know what, that's not what I should be prioritizing primarily as my motivation. And we should really be thinking about, you know, how can we have a positive and kind of entrepreneurial mindset, even if we aren't necessarily kind of entrepreneurs ourselves.
Exactly. Another area that we can look at is that in order to reach the balance between these two parties, yeah, mm-hmm. the employers have to think right. alike, yeah, as the employee as well. Not from the perspective of reaping as much profit as possible, but to think from the well-being of the employees instead. So if the employers are able to think that from that angle, then probably you'll realize that the employees will appreciate much more to that particular organization they are working with.
I mean, again, you know, you go back to those two key principles and you think about making more human choices and having a more positive attitude. Generally speaking, that's just going to help, you know, your work life better in general, right? That's kind of what that's all about. And, you know, I think what we need to make clear is that while we're calling this concept humanistic entrepreneurialism, it is not just for people who are already entrepreneurs or people who are aspiring entrepreneurs. It is really about applying those two key principles, making human choices, having a more positive mindset to your work in general, even your life in general as well, right?
In fact, most of us probably think on our own behalf, right? That's what we always talk about silo thinking
yes.
itself, right? As long as the employers and employees could not reach the harmonization between the two parties, the silo thinking remains. It's always a question we always ask, why does my employee did not see the big picture of the organization? If they keep on thinking for themselves only, which is on silo thinking, they will never be able to see the big picture in the first place. And vice versa, if the employer only thinks on their own behalf, that's also silo thinking. So the employer themselves also will be unable to see the big picture in reality.
Okay.
So humanistic entrepreneurism is typically helping individuals to be able to see a broader picture of what is in front of them.
All right. And what are a few ways or I guess tips to start to incorporate more of these elements of humanistic entrepreneurialism into your daily life?
We start to question assumptions. How will my decision affect others in that essence, right? So think a bit more humanly. So that's right. human governance. On the growth mindset, it has to be about positivism, right? So there are several ways has been proposed by positive psychologists. How can we actually train our brains to think positive? One of the simplest way is to have gratitudes. It looks simple, but when you ask yourself, can I actually list down 3 gratitudes in a day? It's actually not difficult. But once you practice this, literally it trains your brain to be much more observant. Then you realize that actually I have more than 3 gratitudes every day. Yeah, so that makes us a bit more happier, a bit more positive in seeing things. Obviously, there are several ways to do so. My point is only just make sure that whatever you have in front of you, think it positively. Literally, you realize that problems become opportunities for you. Yeah, so you don't shut down yourself from seeing opportunities in front of you.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Brian, for coming into the studio and speaking to us about humanistic entrepreneurialism. That is about it for Raise Your Game on Enterprise. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app. That's available on the Apple App Store and or Google Play. You can also head over to Spotify and listen to us on there as well. You can also go to our website, bfm.my/podcast, where you can listen to and download what we talked about today. You have been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.